Well, good morning. It's so good to be back with you. It's been 4 years since the last time we were back on a home assignment and visiting you for the first time. And so it's such an honor to gather again with you this Sunday. My name is Grant, and my wife, Miho, and our two daughters, Allie and Zoe, are also with us today. And it's been a joy. We've been ECC missionaries for the last 16 years. So literally, Allie was born in June, and we had moved to Japan in September 2010, and then we've been serving there for planting a church 11 years ago when we just had a small team joining us to start a church in the heart of the city. And so we're back for 6 months, and it was so funny. At the annual meeting in Scottsdale, I ran into Scott and the former pastor here. He was so excited to hear that I'm coming back to visit. He's like, if they stop supporting you, then I'm going to have some issues with them. So he's glad that you guys are still a part of our lives and partnering with us and what we're doing. And then on one of the mornings, I was running the Global 6K for the Covenant Kids Congo, raising money for water wells in Africa. And I was running behind these two people, and I heard somebody mention something about Modesto. I'm like, oh, are you guys from Modesto? It turned out I'd been emailing Neil for the last few months, and it's like, oh, I actually finally am meeting you here in this strange 100-degree weather as we're sweating. And so for the next probably 15 minutes as we're huffing and puffing, talking, and we had a great connection. I'm sorry that he's not here this morning, but I'm glad that I had the chance to meet him and get to know him even through running in intense desert heat. Well, we feel so privileged to be able to share what God is doing in Japan. And as you may know, Japan is one of the most unreached people groups in the world with about 1% Christian population. And so you might assume our stories are going to be about the patience and the struggles and the hard things. But one of the exciting things is we're excited to share all the amazing things that God is doing and how he's at work. And so as mission partners, you're a part of what is happening in Tokyo. But more than that, missions isn't just about what happens overseas, but also what happens right here, because you are also sent into this world. I remember years ago hearing this phrase that was kind of a missions appeal to people of pray, give, or go. And every follower of Christ is invited to pray for what God is doing around the world. It may also be through our generosity of supporting what God is doing around the world, and it may even be going ourselves. And so it's such a challenge of God is calling us to care about what he cares about, which is missions and seeing the world know him. And so we play in some part of bringing hope to this broken world. I like that slogan, but I found that it was slightly incomplete because it felt still that whether we're praying, we're giving, or we're going, it's still a mission. It's something that we're doing outside of ourselves or over there, praying for those who are leaving, giving to those who are on the front lines, moving cross-culturally. And one adjustment I would make to that is pray, give, go, but also be. I want to share about what God's heart is for the church and for our role in missions and who are we as a community. And so through this message, I'm going to weave in stories of what God is doing in Tokyo Life Church. And so just this last January, our church turned 11 years old. And so it's exciting of what God has done in this past little over a decade. And this is actually our third home assignment since the church has planted. So it's 2017 and then 2022. And as we are away from them for 6 months, it obviously stirs up some sense of anxiety and fear of what's going to happen when we're not there. But there's also this mix of genuine excitement, because part of the reason that we're here is also this is a season of stretching people, of allowing them to feel this is not just the pastor's church, the missionary's church. This is our church. We take ownership. We have opportunity to serve and step up in new ways that maybe we normally don't do. And so God is still at work there, even while we're away. And so the common assumption in many traditional Japanese churches is that the pastor, he's the professional. He's the one who's trained, and so we pay him, even if it's a very, very small amount. But there's a great respect for him, but it's like, who am I to possibly do anything? And so you preach, you teach, you lead the prayer meetings, you lead the Bible studies, you do the evangelism. Everything's expected on the professional, the trained person. But from the very beginning, especially when our daughters were so small, we knew that if everything was on our shoulders, we're not going to get much traction. this needs to be a team that we're all serving together. And so that's been our heart from the beginning. I'm similar to here that mission ministry is not just for the pastors, not just for the missionaries, but it's for all of us. Because the church's identity is missional. It's not just something that we do or something that we support. It's who we are. It's what God has been doing within us. It's a part of our nature. And so the word mission actually comes from the Latin word missio, which means sent. As we'll see in a moment, this is exactly what Jesus told his disciples after the resurrection. He says, I am sending you. Not just for those little 12 disciples, but it's an invitation for all Christians everywhere. And as Jesus poured into those 12 disciples, he also partnered with so many other people to draw people to know God's love and God's work. And so in Luke 10, we see these 72 anonymous Christians. We don't know any of their names. You don't know much about them. But God invested them to see you can share the good news with the world. You can bring healing to the towns all around us. That's what I love in that verse 1 and 2 is saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I'm sending you out. Those 72 never really got much recognition. We don't know much about them, but they're ordinary people just obeying God's call, and they were able to do extraordinary things through that openness to serving God. One of the foundational passages of our church is from Ephesians 4:11 to 13, where Paul is writing that God has given the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip people of God for works of service so that the body will be built up and become mature. The intention is not just the pioneers, not just the leaders who do everything. It's the people. We're not just passive recipients sitting on the sidelines, but we're active co-workers, teammates working together for God's work in the world. And so you're invited to step on the field yourself, not just watch from the bleachers. And so I'm calling you to live into your identity that we are a missionary people. It's one of the early terms that the ECC had was that we were mission friends, that we were working together, we're united in this call of working for God's work in the world. Not being a haven from it, but being sent into the world. That's who we are when we're at our best. Well, one of the final statements that Jesus made says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I think a key word here is as. In the same way that the Father sent me, I am sending you. Before his birth in Bethlehem, he enjoyed the privileges of being royalty in heaven, having everything. But he gave up all that to be born in this dirty barn, being amongst the broken people of our world. And why would he make that change? Why would he give up that to come here? We see that in John 3:16. It reminds us, because God so loved the world that he sent his son. That is what he decided to do. He drew close to us, not away from us. We recently were down in Southern California, and we were visiting some colleges because this is the last time that we'll be in the States before our daughters graduate college in a few years, or graduate high school in a few years. And we're in Santa Barbara, and it was amazing that outside of this campus, the only people you would ever see are obviously cars driving by, but also people walking their dogs. Because otherwise, everything else is hidden behind gates. You don't see anybody. That was not the posture of Jesus, of being distant and remote, away from the mess and the problems of the world. How is Jesus our pattern? What did he model? Not only did he come in the flesh, but he drew close to people. He identified with them. He suffered like us, even empathizing with everything that we experience, as we see in Hebrews 4:15. Who did he spend time with? We see him talking to the woman at the well, or protecting the woman who is about to be stoned, or spending time with lepers and healing the blind, even building his team with tax collectors and fishermen. He made no distinction of class and gender and age or any of these things. He's demonstrating the good news is both word and deed. What I'm teaching as well as how I'm living. Healing people, eating together, protecting them, extending compassion. That is our pattern. That is what God has called us to do. It's not that we're to retreat from the world, but to go and to engage. Recently, Mio and I had the opportunity of doing a fundraising trip, so we've been having a building campaign that we always thought we never would have our own space in Tokyo, but we're hopefully having our own building in the future. And we had this invitation to come to Hong Kong to do some fundraising. And as we were talking with so many people there and so many Christians, they're all saying like, oh, we love Japan. It's like our second home. I go there for skiing in the winter, and we go there in the spring for the cherry blossoms. And it was like annual like pilgrimages to enjoy Tokyo. And for them, it was so much of, we love the food and the shopping, and it's so clean and so nice and it's so safe. But it was so funny that for them, the city was just the tourist destination, beautiful, nice, wealthy. They had never thought about Japan as a mission field. They didn't think about the spiritual condition of the city. They just see the gloss of this is nice and clean and beautiful and these beautiful shops and amazing restaurants. But if you just peek under the surface, you see that there is so much brokenness and needs. Yes, the trains run efficient. Yes, there is wealth and nice buildings, but there's also so much depression and hopelessness. And so during the pandemic, when our church was homeless, we realized that there was a growing homeless population in the area of our city called Ikebukuro. And so we felt God was calling us to respond in some way. We can't fix the problem, but we can do something. And so we began serving meals and giving supplies out each month and getting to know them, talking with them, praying with them. And it was amazing that there was a moment where people had come to Bible studies, even joining our Christmas events, coming to some of the different things, even helping out with one of our vacation Bible schools, our summer English camps that we do with kids. And I remember there's a moment where Mia was talking with one man and sharing her own testimony of how God saved her through depression of all the academic pressure in high school. And there's a man standing behind her who wasn't saying anything that day, but this guy, Kaneko-san, the next month as he came back, he approached her and said, I was hearing your story last month, and I remember I felt like I could trust you. Like, you seem like a safe person that understands us. And so every single time after that, he'd try to come up to her, talk with her. It may be like 20 minutes of a conversation, but always a chance for her to pray with him. And this is just a small way that we are sent like Jesus, not waiting for the world to come to us, but to go and engage of what's happening around us. And so we're sent like Jesus. We're witnesses in both word and our actions. And there's strengths and weaknesses that we work with an unreached people group because there's less than 1% Christian population. But that basically means that most people have never met a Christian in their life, have never read the Bible, don't know anything about Jesus. The weakness is that most people are a blank slate when it comes to the Bible. I remember I was preparing this young man for baptism and mentioned how Jesus was fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. And I remember just his sincere response, like, who is Satan? I'm like, oh yeah, I can't just assume that everybody understands all these different people and characters of the Bible. And so you can't assume people know who Moses is or David or Jonah or the Apostle Paul. But the strength also is that people aren't jaded and cynical about Christianity. They just don't know anything. And so that's why the missionary Leslie Newbegin, as he was working in India, called the church the hermeneutic of the gospel. Basically, the interpretation, the way of people understanding what the gospel is through the church, through Christians. Because people may never read the Bible, but they're going to read and look at and examine our lives. That's the first point of understanding of who God is and what is this good news that we have to offer. And whether we like it or not, that's how people are going to understand, is there any credibility to our message? Is this worth following? Is this God good? And so our credibility is linked to our witness. It's hard for them to want what we have if they see that we're just so divided, so unloving, so uncompassionate. And there's also a saying that said, the church is a sign, an instrument, and a foretaste. Where a sign is, it's pointing to something, and that's what God has called us to be, this light of the world that's showing the world that this is where you can find real life. This is where you can find real hope. We're pointing people to who God is. We're also an instrument. This is one of the beautiful things that God doesn't necessarily need us, but he invites us to be a part of what he's doing to restore our broken world. Working through us, allowing us to care for the hurting, extend compassion, bring good news to the entire world. And then finally, the church is a foretaste, knowing that we are going to spend eternity together in heaven, that people get a glimpse of what that looks like now. A people from all backgrounds, nations, languages, classes, worshiping God in unity. That's such a beautiful gift that people can see, this is something beautiful that I want to be a part of. Well, after I went to Bible college, I was first a missionary in France for 2 years, and I remember meeting a man who bluntly told me, I don't like Americans. But you seem different. I like you. And I remember as he's following it up that I think he might not have ever actually met an American before. It might be this is just the image that I have, or maybe it was just through a few tourists that he's had different encounters with. And my goal of being there was not to be an ambassador for American politics or anything like that, but people are going to make assumptions about Americans by my life, whether I like it or not. And it's the same thing with our faith, that somebody is going to make assumptions of what is Christianity really about, because that you might be the only person that they know who is modeling a follower of Christ. So what are they going to see? What are they going to experience by knowing you? One of the things we found in our church is that evangelism often happens first by belonging before believing. And people are desperate for friendship. People are desperate for community. And so there might be different reasons why they come to the church. But whatever the motivation, we start with where they're at, build relationships, and then trust begins to develop. And then they start to open up over time about who Jesus is and taking steps closer to finding Christ. But first, being a part of a community is so crucial. Because many people had never met a Christian before, they don't know anything about the Bible, and so what they see in this community of this church helps them see, who is God really like? We're living witnesses. And so last Easter, we were able to baptize this Japanese man, Jackie, and it was amazing of having him baptized, but also it's even more amazing of what led to him taking that step of faith. Well, the story was, his wife is from Hong Kong, he's from Japan, and on that fundraising trip that we took to Hong Kong, we were able to preach in this historic church in Kowloon that had online services, so streaming. This woman from Hong Kong that was living in Tokyo watched that service online because she hadn't found a church yet, heard our story and found, oh, there's a church in Tokyo. So the next week she comes to our church and brings her husband, who was very reluctant to come to a church. But it was amazing that God used us as we were serving for a completely different purpose in Hong Kong of seeing this family start coming to our church. Well, week after week, month after month, he was coming semi-regularly. In the fall, we had a retreat in this beautiful area of called Karizawa. And being there, he said, the next week he comes back to the church and has a smile. He's like, I just bought a Bible this last week and I started reading it. And I asked him, why now? What sparked this interest? He's like, well, at the retreat, I felt such love from this community. It was because he felt he belonged, that he was accepted, that he felt safe there, that spurred this interest of reading the Bible and starting to study the Bible. So I started going to the Base of the Faith, and around Valentine's Day, a couple months later, he comes up to me with this big smile and says, I'm ready to get baptized. He had accepted Christ, and it was through the church being the church, helping express what God, who God is and what he is doing. And so God was amazing to use that fundraising trip to reach a man like this, but he used the community to show him who God is really like. So you're a sign, you're an instrument, and you're a foretaste of the gospel. And one of the most beautiful images in the Bible comes at the very end in Revelation 7, 9. It says, after this I looked, and there before stood me a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This is a picture of heaven. This is the picture of the future. A people from Milan, from Mumbai, from Modesto, all continents, all backgrounds gathered together worshiping and praising God in one voice. That's a picture of the future, and we're a small part of making that a reality. And so God invites us to join him in his mission because you are sent. And so you're to be the church wherever you find yourself. There's a new term used in missions called polycentric missiology, where a century ago, the common idea was missions is from the West to the rest of the world. It's from Europe, it was from America going, but it's amazing that now, just a century later, two of the largest mission-sending nations are South Korea and Brazil. Going to other places, it's amazing to see that there's Africans being serving in Europe, or there's Filipinos serving in the Middle East, everyone to everywhere. And that's such a beautiful image of what God is doing, the sighting thing. But it's not just of where missionaries are from and where they're going. This is what's happening with people. Because the world is coming nearby, that everything is becoming multi-ethnic. And so you don't have to necessarily go to the Middle East to reach out to Muslims in your community. You don't have to go to Asia to find that there are actually people here that have never heard the gospel. And so we're experiencing this polycentric mission in our church because God is using people from everywhere to be witnesses to reaching people from various places. That fundraising trip that we went to Hong Kong was actually sparked by the parents of this couple, Yuki and Maggie, when we were performing their wedding and conducting their wedding service. The dad approached us because he had heard that we were thinking about a building project. He says, "Hey, I'd love to help. Would you come and we can do a banquet? We can help introduce some people to you." But what was amazing is this couple got married because they actually met. She was from Hong Kong. Yuki was from Nagasaki in Japan, studying in Australia, that God brought them together in a completely different place. He came back to Tokyo to study, started coming to our church, and soon became a Christian, was baptized. It was amazing that God used this woman in Hong Kong, in Australia, to reach Japan. And then another couple that we were able to perform their wedding was Ambu and Yume. And this is the complete opposite, where she is Japanese, he is from India, and he comes from an atheist background, but he was working on coming to Japan on business trips, and they met each other and started dating. And it was amazing that God used this Japanese woman to reach this Indian man to come to Christ and he get baptized. And so it's amazing of what God is doing, not just Westerners reaching Japan, but God even using Japanese people to reach other parts of the world. That's the exciting thing of what God is doing right now. Another person in our church, a young man named Ezekiel, is part of the Covenant Church in Argentina, and he was coming to study and get his PhD at the University of Tokyo, not knowing anybody, not having any friends, never having traveled outside of South America. He found out from one of the Covenant missionaries there of, oh, there's a church in Tokyo. Maybe you should connect with them. And so it's amazing to see that here's this young man from Argentina, part of the Covenant family, serving and working of reaching out and pouring into some of the young adults and being a vital part of our leadership team, even though as a young leader. And so it's amazing to see what God is doing, even with his limited Japanese, even though he's away from home, using him to impact the gospel or impact Japan for the gospel. And so wherever you find yourselves, you can be used by God in his mission. And so the call is not just to come to church, but to go and be the church. You are sent as the church for the world. And as we started our building campaign 2 years ago, we're now amazingly at 81%. So we're like getting close to reaching that goal. The dream was never just to have our own space and have our own haven and a bubble, or it'd be nice that we don't have to set up the room every single week, which I'm sure some of you may remember from the early days of Covenant Grove. But the larger vision that we want to be a lighthouse for the community, to be a blessing, to serve, to meet the needs of the people, to be a blessing to those around us. And that's the hope for our church, and it's the hope for this church as well. That we pray, we give, we go, but we also be. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You're invited to be part of what God is doing wherever you find yourself, whether it's here in Modesto, in the larger California, or around the world. We are to be the church, to be the light, to be the hope that the world desperately needs. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this chance to focus on the invitation that you're giving to us. God, that you don't need us. You can definitely work probably better without us, but yet you invite us to be a part of what you're doing, being a small, sowing a seed, being a small link in the chain of helping people to take steps closer to knowing you, to experiencing your love, your compassion, and the hope that you give, the second chance that you give for our messed up lives. And so God, we lift up, God, this congregation, that you would continue to give them the joy and the passion to be a light for you here in Modesto, to partner with what you're doing around the world, to be excited of what's happening all in these different nations and places, and being a part of that. So God, we ask you to give them the courage, especially as the new school year starts, for the students to have the courage of being the church in their campus, in their sports clubs, in their neighborhoods. God, that you've invited each of us to play some part of your mission wherever we find ourselves. And so, God, we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Now, please receive the benediction. 主があなたを祝福し、あなたを守られますように。主があなたに御顔を照らし、あなたを恵まれますように。主が御顔をあなたに向け、あなたに平安を与えられますように。The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord.